Good evening, everybody. This is Blake Ruby from San Antonio, Texas. How are you all doing out there in Internet Radio Land? Did you like my song? Do you like my song? In it, I detect, and that's the reason I like that introduction song, if you will, introduction music. It's got the call of the spirit, the call of the soul in it. Just like the call of the wild, there's a call of the soul. Do you have a call of the soul? Do you listen to the call of the soul, the call of the spirit, to improve yourself spiritually, to evolve? My friends, I was thinking, with all the news going on today, all this petty stuff, back and forth, competition, my side versus your side, this and that, what about this? What about that? But finding something new, going off in a tangent. Well, I'm trying not to get involved with the news, my friends. And I heard a song. Have you ever heard of Austin City Limits? It's a really cool program that has music. And this one band sang a song called, I forget the name of it, but in the song, the singer talks about, instead of listening to the news, why not go outside and plant a garden? I thought that was relevant. Let me go. Hold on just a minute. I got to close the door. One of our dogs came out. We've got four dogs. And the door opened up, and I'm trying to have a little bit of quiet here in my patio. With the sun going down, I had to rig a little piece of shade so that the sun wouldn't be right in my face. So anyway, I just wanted to say something about abortion. And I know it's a very touchy subject. And then I'll leave it alone and get on with the rest of my show, which has to do with ancient aliens. And also I'm going to talk about life out there. Here comes our big dog. His name is Shaka. Lie down beside me. So with abortion, besides all the talk about it being the right of the woman to choose, besides all the talk about the government being involved and making decisions for the women, besides the talk about it being murder of a human being, besides all of that, and I kind of tend to side on the for the women, it being their right to choose, because when they make their choice, they have to live with that choice. It's on their conscience the rest of their lives. And I think God, the Creator, understands how difficult it is for a woman to make a choice. But besides all that, you know that we came from heaven and we're going to return to heaven eventually. Some of us might not, but we are spirits of light. And our mother and father, God in heaven, are spirits of light, and their light is very, very bright. Indeed. Not to mention the Supreme Creator. So we all came from heaven. We all existed before we were born. There is a pre-existence. Now I ask you to think about the movie Heaven is for Real. Or the book. Maybe you read the book. There's two main parts that I got out of that movie. I didn't read the book. I read parts of it. One main part that proves that heaven is indeed for real, my friends, and this is good news, right? Anytime we can prove the existence of something that hasn't been proven yet, without a shadow of a doubt, right? And that is good news. So the boy that he saw his grandfather and his father's father. So when he told the father that, the father went and got a photograph of his father, his grandfather, when he was old. And the boy said, no, that's not him, when he showed him. No, that's not him. And so he went and got, while the father went and got another picture of when he was young, brought it back to the boy, and he looked at that picture and said, yeah, that's him. That's Pops. Hello? Hello? A little three-year-old boy wouldn't make that up. You recognized him, right, for when he was young and vibrant, and that's the way it is in heaven, my friends. We are in the, like, age 30 mold. So if we die when we're 80 years old, we're going to revert back to that age 30 mold. Isn't that amazing? Because the spirit is configuring. The spirit inside of us is configuring. So are the mother and father God. And that's the way it is in heaven, too. From what I understand, we can take on the appearance of even someone else. But getting back to what I was saying, the other main point that proved to me that heaven is for real, and sometimes we don't need concrete evidence, empirical evidence, right, my friends, to make our minds up about something, to bridge that gap between belief and knowledge. The boy said he saw his sister who was miscarried. So if a baby is miscarried and winds up in heaven and is growing into an adult version of themselves, when he saw, I guess she was maybe in the age 7 or 8 mold, he said that she ran up to him and hugged him repeatedly and said that she had died in their mother's tummy. A miscarried baby, an aborted baby, the same thing. The point is that babies who are aborted are souls that exist then in heaven after they die, just like we did at one time. Beings, if you will, just like us, who lost their chance to come to Earth. That's the other perspective I wanted to talk about, my friends. A lot of it going on in the news today, right, with Mr. Trump and Bernie Sanders today. Talked about the anti-abortion laws. Now, don't get me wrong. I still like to listen to what they have to say. I respect them for being very intelligent people. But really, it's all about the competition, you know. There's a lot of competition going on, my friends, as you know. But we don't think about it a lot. And indeed, there is so much more we can focus on with our thinking rather than competition. I know people are involved with sports. They enjoy watching sports, picking one side over the other. And I don't really want to say anything bad about that, only that I'm trying not to do it myself because I find that once I do get involved with sports, I find myself thinking a lot about it. I'll choose one side over the other. True that these players are worthy of emulation, good role models, very physically fit, like supermen, if you will. But I'm not getting paid to be a fan. And what about me? What about me? What about you? What about me? What about my life? Should I spend my time watching people and saying, oh, I wish I was like them. Oh, they're great. Oh, they're wonderful. What about me? What about my life? They die. They get great honors and tremendous funeral. Lots of people show up. Well, lots of people show up to my funeral? Probably not. What makes them any better than me? We're all equal, right? We're all supposed to be equal. People of every ethnicity, of every race, all equal. It's just a competition that separates us. And it's not really our fault. It's just the way of the world, this world, which is a planet of a lower evolutionary category, which means that we're here to learn basic social values, to learn to love each other. We've had a history of war and killing, as you know, in our past, a lot of war and killing in our past, my friends. I'm not saying in any ways that it's good or we should have more. Okay, let's get that straight. I was trying to emphasize that let's not forget where we came from, okay, in this world has been a very violent place and still is, you know, around the world, in different places, fighting still going on. As we see, as I speak right now, people are getting killed in violent confrontations. I wish it wasn't that way. I would like peace. Could there ever be peace in our world? In our world? Everlasting peace? I think it's very difficult for there to be peace, because not only are we to blame, but one has to take into consideration this planet that we live on, albeit a very beautiful, wonderful world, teeming with life, paradise, if you will, in some places, before we polluted the oceans and the rivers and lakes and seas and the air. At one time, a few hundred years ago, my friends, it was very pristine. The air hadn't been polluted. The oceans and the seas and the rivers and the lakes were clean. You could drink from them, the ones that weren't salt water, of course. Now you have to worry about bacteria and mercury poisoning. But don't worry. Don't be in despair. There's still hope. People like me and you who are listening to my show, and I'm putting these words out into the atmosphere, too, by the way. It is being recorded, what I say, not only by BBS Radio, but in the ecosphere of this planet. Thoughts, the words that are spoken, do make a difference, my friends, and that's why it behooves each and every one of us to be careful what we say, because our words do change things. That's why they say prayers can change things, because we speak the words. How else does it happen? As it says in the Bible, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and everything was created with the Word. That gives you an idea, just an idea of how the Supreme Creator created the universe. And I say the Supreme Creator, I'm talking about he, she, who existed before the Big Bang, before the physical and spiritual universe were created, universes were created. The Supreme Creator is energy, if you will, power that is incomprehensible, knowledge that is perfect, intelligence that knows everything, knows the future, knows the past. So powerful, we're left on our own here, on this world, on this planet, to grow and evolve, to become, as I mentioned in previous shows, co-creator gods who are meant to be, just like our Mother God and Father God, separate from the Supreme Creator, who are in heaven on the sun, which is the spirit world, the world on fire, God's fire, a very special fire, my friends. And the spirit can live in the fire, just like the spirit can live in hellfire. For those who are murderers, rapists, abusers, non-believers, perhaps even, those who will go beneath the surface of the earth, to the interior, to God's jail, when they die, when they transition. Others may stay on the surface of the earth, like we have as ghosts, people who die suddenly and violently, but don't know they're dead. I'm eating my soup here. I gotta eat something. I eat a lot of these Madrugal soups. This one here is called split pea. Very delicious. And then there's another heaven above the clouds, but the third heaven, as Paul and John said in the Bible, is what I believe. In fact, I know. Sometimes I can say I know things. The sun is the matrix. of our solar system, and it's also the third heaven. The sun is the center of the solar system. All the planets revolve around it. And thanks if you can, my friends, just for a few seconds, the power it takes not only to rotate a world, but also revolve it around itself. The power comes from the sun, not only our world, but all the other planets and moons. And then think about the power it takes to revolve the solar system around the center of the Milky Way galaxy and all the other solar systems in our galaxy. What about the other galaxies out there and their solar systems, all revolving around the center of the universe? Think of the power that it takes to do that. Perfect power, without fail, without a glitch. Day in and day out, year in and year out. Perfect. The sun rises, the sun sets, no mistakes. Courtesy of God, my friends, the Supreme Creator, and the co-creator gods that exist throughout the universe, on suns that have developed themselves through process of reincarnation, evolving from one life to another, like we're doing right now. So they get to the point where they can be co-creator gods and have their own solar system and their own planets and their own children, millions of them. And so it goes as infinite space is expanding and new solar systems are being created. There's going to be plenty of space out there for you and me, my friends. If you can die, you are a co-creator God in the making. Some people don't think they can die, though. And I can understand that. And we're kind of stuck right now, my friends, in a gap. We know there's life out there. Some of us do. Some people don't believe it, that there's life out there. And one of my missions with this radio show, and many thanks to BBS Radio for the opportunity to air my words out into the atmosphere and to the people in internet radio land all around the world who may be listening to my voice at this time. Maybe people in Thailand, maybe in Iran, maybe in South Africa, perhaps in England. My ancestry comes from mostly England. Perhaps Iceland, or maybe Newfoundland, Canada. Take a drink of water. Someone might be listening in British Columbia, Canada, or maybe in Japan. Well, welcome, my friends, to my show, where I talk about subjects relating to the spirit, who we are, where we're going, and life out there. That's one of my missions, is to hopefully inspire change so that we will have contact with an extraterrestrial species before the day I pass away. I know there's a lot of other people out there who are working towards that common goal. For those that don't believe, I've given it some thought, my friends. I believe it's because they don't believe that the Creator, let's say the Supreme Creator, is not powerful enough or knowledgeable enough to create all this life that we see on Earth. Millions of types of insects, thousands of types of fish in the seas, oceans, rivers, lakes, thousands of types of birds, reptiles, and amphibians and mammals, and all the vegetation, the trees, the flowers, the fruits, the vegetables. I guess you just, they don't, the atheists, the agnostics, they don't believe that there is a creator powerful enough or knowledgeable enough to create all this life or create the same amount of life, the same kind of life, or maybe different life elsewhere in the universe. Well, if you don't believe that, then logically, and logic, my friends, will save you. Logic will change the way you're thinking. Logic is irrefutable. If all this happened by accident here on Earth, all this life, all the millions of different types of species, some small, some large, some very intricate wings, perhaps, eyes that see, metabolisms capable of reproduction. Take a fly, for example. We think that they're disgusting. They land on toilet seats, maybe then on your toothbrush. Terrible, you know. Indeed, we don't want to catch a disease, but think about a common household fly, the eyes that it can see. Who created that fly? My point is, the very amazing creations in and of themselves. But maybe that's not a good example, because I think I might be losing some people when I'm talking about trying to speak well of a common household fly. And hold on, Smith. Okay, I'm back. The door was open. Someone was kneeling inside my living room. So let's take maybe a beetle or a hummingbird or maybe a killer whale. Incredible creations. But my point is, if all of this happened by accident, could it not happen by accident elsewhere in the universe, on another planet? We look up into the evening sky and we see stars. Oh, we say, because we don't know any better, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the earth so bright, like a diamond in the night. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, oh, I wonder what you are. Well, let me tell you what they are. In reality, my friend, and I know on this earth we have a problem separating fantasy from reality. I do. I think we all do. There are actually suns out there, and each sun has its planets. So what we see up in the evening sky is the light of the sun, and revolving around it are planets. And we're discovering more and more planets each day. I forget what the number is now, probably well into the thousands, which makes my point. They're out there. Someone with any intelligence will have to agree that there are many, many, many planets out there besides our own. And I'm going to write something down here. So there's the logic, my friends, ladies and gentlemen. There is life out there. I've just proved it. We don't need NASA to land on Europa and sink a probe underneath the ice, through the ice, down to the bottom of the ocean, which exists underneath that layer of ice, to a hydrothermal vent to discover whether or not there is life there. We don't need them to spend billions of dollars to do that. We don't need to find any algae growing on Mars. I think we've already done that, actually. I don't know why then they haven't declared that there is life elsewhere, because algae is a type of life. My point is, I've proven it to you. Well, if you don't believe that there's a creator who's powerful and knowledgeable enough to create this life elsewhere, or a different life elsewhere in the universe, then you have to agree that it could happen by accident elsewhere. You just have to believe that. You have to know that. It's irrefutable logic. And what would be the difference if we knew that there's life out there, my friends? It would change our perspective if we really internalized it. If someone came out and said, hey, there is really life out there, and it was on the front page of all the newspapers across the world, it would be incredibly huge. And that's one reason that the extraterrestrials that are out there haven't made contact with us, because we're of a lower evolutionary thinking. We can't even acknowledge that there is life elsewhere. So why should they make contact with us? And indeed, they're out there. If you're really interested to learn about some of them, watch the video called Fast Walkers, or read the book called The Contact Has Begun, or read the book called Abduction to the Ninth Planet. Those are the two best books that will tell you about these species that are out there. And besides that, my friends, you know, the Creator can do anything, right? With the power and knowledge, for those of you who do believe in the Creator, that all of this didn't happen by accident, then you know the Creator, the Supreme Creator, and all the co-creator gods who have been told how to use universal laws and principles, cosmic rays, to create, like the Supreme Creator does, all in accordance with universal laws and principles, utilizing cosmic forces, my friends. They can do almost the same as the Supreme Creator with that knowledge of those laws and principles. Creation, it's just a matter of words, saying the right words in harmony. You need the other half, your other half, your soulmate, to help you do that, because the Supreme Creator is both male and female. That's why there's a mother and father God. As you know, here on Earth, we have males and females, and how do they reproduce? Well, I don't need to go into the details. You all know that. Unless there's some very young people listening to my show, which I wouldn't mind. But in the spirit world, my friends, it's called merging of the spirits, where the spirits actually become one. So you have a male spirit and a female spirit, the mother God, father God, how they create. They merge their spirits. And then their thoughts are so in synchronization with each other that when they speak, that male and female speaking inside that one merged spirit and create whatever they want to. But it has to be in perfect synchronization. So whether it's a new soul and spirit, or whatever, some piece of matter, or in the beginning, setting the forces in motion to create a new star. I call them stars as well. Suns, if you will, also stars. Our sun is, I believe, called a G2 white dwarf. I forget the name, the astronomical name for it, but it's still called a star, but in essence, it's a sun. Sun, star, sun. Say that fast 3 times. Star, sun. So, my friends, time is just flying by because I'm having a great time. Thank you for listening. So they're out there. I was going to have a guest on my show tonight, and He couldn't make it. Had to back out. But that's all right. Because I have some questions for him. I'm going to talk about those questions. But before I do, I wanted to ask you if any of you had ever heard that we have other human beings living here in our solar system. Well, we do. Let me tell you a story. A long time ago, there was a race of human beings much more advanced than we are at that stage of their evolution, many thousands of years ago, living here in our solar system. At that time here on Earth, I think you could, there have been other civilizations before Moses, you know, in those times, several thousand years ago up there in Egypt, in that area of the world. And then there were the humans from Atlantis who settled there in Atlantis in the North Atlantic Ocean. I don't know what planet they came from. And then there were the human beings that lived on the continent of Lemuria, also known as Mu. I'm not sure if they were the same. My knowledge is incomplete in those areas, my friends, but I do know that the first human beings on Earth came from a planet in our Milky Way galaxy called Bacchaturini, and there were a black race and an Asian race, African-American, if you will, or black, and yellow, or Asian. And they settled, blacks settled in Australia, the Asians in China and Burma. They were the first human beings on Earth. But many thousands of years ago, there was a planet that existed between Jupiter and Mars. Now, we recognize that area as the asteroid belt. You see, those humans were very advanced, technologically and spiritually. But they got involved in experiments with antimatter. And perhaps one could even describe them as overzealous experiments. And my friends, in case you didn't know, you can't fool around with antimatter. It is extremely, extremely powerful. Powerful enough to destroy a planet. And that's what happened. All the pieces of the asteroid belt is what's left of their planet. In fact, it was a yellow planet. But before this happened, they were able to evacuate most of their civilization to a moon that revolves around Jupiter called Ganymede. And that is where they live at this present day and age. They have learned to harness the volcanic activity on that moon to provide the power for their cities. So they convert that energy, that seismic energy, if you will, into the light and heat and electricity that they need, in other words, to power their cities, which are mostly underground, but some are above the surface of that moon. And they've converted some of the areas where they live in to be somewhat similar to Earth, I do believe. If you want to read more about that, you can buy the book, I Visited Ganymede, on the internet. It's an incredible story of a man who was taken there to Ganymede, and because of his evolution and spiritual development, he was given the choice to stay there with him, while the man who wrote the book was his friend and talks about that experience and them landing in his backyard with their spaceship, which is capable of sublight speed. Their propulsion systems, I believe, are electromagnetic, anti-gravity. Probably either use elements high on the atomic level, or maybe there's an energy that permeates the space that the more advanced civilizations can harness to power their spacecraft to travel at sublight speeds. Apparently, according to Einstein's theory of special relativity, there's nothing faster than the speed of light. And I believe that is true from what I've read. However, when these civilizations travel around space, they push their spacecraft up to the speed of light, and then the energy that begins to envelop them when they approach the speed of light, they're able to harness that energy to then go through that fabric of space to the spiritual universe, or the fourth dimension, if you will. It's a parallel universe. And once they're in the parallel universe, then they can travel by the speed of thought. Of course, they themselves and their spacecraft have to be, what's the word, besides capable, they have to be able to do that. So they, I'm trying to think of the word, compatible. They have to be compatible with traveling in that spiritual parallel universe. It's also time travel. And so they might, they have uniforms, clothes on that would permit their bodies to be disassembled, all the molecules disassembled and then reassembled when they get to the other side. And they ingest, from what I, one particular race of aliens does this, they ingest a certain fluid that makes it possible for them to have their molecules assembled and reassembled. And the spaceship also has to be disassembled and reassembled. And their spaceship can indeed change shape and size. So all these civilizations, it's not too hard to believe. They've had the benefit of having existed for millions of years longer than us. So see how much we've done over the last couple hundred years with our technology? Now multiply that by maybe a million. Just, you know, if we survive that long and we don't destroy ourselves, we learn to live in peace, then we're capable of many, many wonderful things, to include matter transformation, having spaceships that can go close to light speed and go interdimensional, and we could be star travelers just like in Star Trek. Wouldn't that be wonderful? So they're out there. They might be listening to my radio show. What do you think? I don't want to say anything that will make them angry or anyone that might endanger our civilization anyway. I'm just thinking of what a shame it is that we don't have contact with them already. We could be star travelers right now. And when they share their technology with us, that includes their medical technology, we could cure all the diseases, because we would know how they start, you know, what causes them. I'm ready for it. How about you? Are you ready for contact? I think I'm intelligent enough. There's a lot of people that have had contact with extraterrestrials. My God, we see it enough in movies, don't we? It's all negative for the most part. All talking about violence, right? These extraterrestrials, they're out to get us, aren't they? And they look ugly. And they hate us. And we have to kill them before they kill us. But that's fantasy, my friends. The reality is, and anyone with half a brain would have to agree, that if they wanted to destroy us, they could have done it a long time ago. And why wouldn't they have wanted to? Because this Earth is a veritable paradise. And look how we've treated it over the years. And I'm guilty. I drive a car that spews carbon monoxide into the atmosphere. I should get an electric car. I talk about it. But at least my car is a four-cylinder engine for the time being. I always talk about getting a bigger engine, but I think the reasonable side of me will stop that from happening. Really, a car, whether it's one body type, one style, one make or another, it's just transportation to get you from A to B. You can't go too fast or you're going to get a ticket. Well, let me You got my soup here. Very good soup. I've got about 15 minutes left. My wife and I were going to go out this evening to a comedy show. We went to one about a month ago. A man by the name of Michael Blackson. He's very popular. Indeed, he was amazing. Lots of swearing, though, my friend. Not good. I don't swear at all myself. Even when I hit my thumb with a hammer, I won't swear. I might say dang or man, but I stop myself from swearing. Can you do that? Do you swear at all? I challenge you not to swear at all, because it's not the intelligent thing to do. We pride ourselves in our intelligence, and I think most of us do, right, my friends? Then I challenge you to be even more intelligent. And don't swear. Swearing doesn't make any sense. It only proves that you're not capable of using other words. And as I mentioned before, words are so important. They either create or they destroy. Swear words, even though I don't like saying it, I think it's possible they might destroy things. So are you a creator or a destroyer? If you're a destroyer, I pity you, because the creator, the supreme creator of the universe, does have a temper, if you will. You don't want to incur the wrath of a being that is so powerful. I can't describe how powerful the supreme creator is. But you don't want to destroy what the Creator creates, because the Bible talks about God getting angry. And I think God can get angry. Let's take the Father God, for example. There's a book called Beyond the Darkness by Angie Fenimore. I even communicated with her. A while back, maybe 10 years ago, I read her book. She tried to commit suicide. And she took some medications, some pills. And she left her body. She was lying on the couch. She'd been abused when she was young. She had children. She thought it was in the best interest of her children that she do this. And everybody, they wouldn't miss her. In fact, that they would say it was a good thing that she was gone. How mistaken she was. Later, she would find out that was just the opposite. Because when people commit suicide, they leave family and friends wondering why they did that. And it's quite possible that they can ruin their life plan. Because we all, my friends, have a mission here in life to perform, carry out. And the object of our existence is to successfully complete that mission and then graduate to a higher existence in the afterlife. I'm talking about going to heaven, relaxing for a while, enjoying the scenery, having a great time, mixing with all the beautiful people there from ages past, all the different cultures, all the famous people that you can think of that are there. Some maybe who have already reincarnated, you won't see. So you get to enjoy the beautiful scenery of heaven. The light, there's no darkness there, no shadows. Trees that have fruit, the tree of life, in other words, the fruit of the tree of life. There's a lot of those trees around, and they have vegetables there, and they have bread, they have peace, they have water from the river of life, the water of life. There's mountains and rivers and valleys, there's angels everywhere, there's chariots driving people around, and everyone is praising God, praising the Creator, the Supreme Creator, for the miracles of all creation, my friends. And isn't it true? All that you see. I mentioned to you about the power that it takes to rotate and revolve planets and moons around the sun and all the different solar systems and all the galaxies. All that held into existence by the might of the Supreme Creator, my friends. And so why not praise the Supreme Creator forever? Because we wouldn't be here if not for the Supreme Creator. Amazing power, awesome power, incomprehensible power and knowledge, supreme intelligence, beautiful, wonderful, loving, out there, it's out there, and it's incredibly huge, bigger than 1,000 galaxies put together, my friends, yet capable of contracting itself, a spirit, configuring, who creates all of the sentient life that exists in the universe, all the different species. Think of the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets that you read about in the book, The Contact Has Begun. Read that book, please. In the book it says there's 26,000 different species in the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets. And these species have come together to exist in harmony, to share technologies, to love each other as fellow brothers and sisters and spirits throughout the universe. Hey, that's my show, Spirits of the Universe. Hey! And that's just the tip of the iceberg when you want to talk about the different types of extraterrestrials that are out there, and some haven't been discovered yet. Because the Supreme Creator, my friends, besides the co-creator, mother gods and fathers, is a creator of bodies and planets. And the Supreme Creator's imagination is unlimited. Think of all the life here on Earth. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, the Supreme Creator can't create. The Supreme Creator has the power to do that, and the intelligence and imagination to create anything, anywhere. Anywhere, anything. Hello? Hello? Anything, anywhere. And so, the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets out there, and we could have been a part of it now, only that we've had this history of war and violence. So I ask you, my friends, help me. If you already have a show on BBS Radio, thank you for making the world a better place. And if you're not making the world a better place, you're wasting your life. I mean that in a good way. But help me to make contact. Let's do whatever's necessary. Because it would be such a huge life-changing event for all of us. Then we'd really know God is real when we made contact with extraterrestrials. But it's a very delicate situation, too, my friends. You see, we all have, all the countries around the world have nuclear weapons pointed at us, pointed at each other. It's just a button press away. And I know that's a very touchy thing to talk about, but that is reality, is it not? And just because I talk about it, hopefully it doesn't make a difference. My point is that perhaps some kind of extraterrestrial intervention at this stage could trigger the wrong reaction from people. They know what they're doing. They've seen it before in their travels around the universe with other civilizations that come upon. If they didn't want us to go into outer space, we couldn't. They would stop us because they want space to be peaceful. Last night I watched Apollo 11. What an amazing story that is, my friends. Back in 1969, and we're coming up to 50 years in July, we sent a spaceship to the moon, and then we followed it up with five more, six altogether. 12 American astronauts walked on the moon. Wasn't that amazing? Everything went off without a hitch. It was perfect. The launch into orbit, trans lunar injection, trans-Earth injection into outer space, 240,000 miles to the moon. It separated the lunar landing module from the space capsule. They landed just in the nick of time. They were about ready to run out of gas, fuel. Neil Armstrong, what a man. May God bless his soul. The most incredible pilot there ever was. Only he could have done that. Afterwards, he told them what they needed to know so they can land safely on the moon. So then they walked around on the moon for a few, was it one day, I think, and then came back. They had to lift off from the moon, connect with the space capsule. Then they jettisoned the lunar module, and they headed back to Earth after what they call a trans-lunar injection, I think. Heading back to Earth and then coming through the atmosphere at 26,000 feet per second, my friends. That's 5 miles a second. Think of that. With the fire burning outside their space capsule, the parachutes deployed, they landed safely in the Pacific Ocean, mission accomplished. What an incredible, incredible feat that was. A victory for mankind that will last forever, my friends. We can be all very proud of that. Coming up to 50 years. And now, I hope that we'll get our space program going again. By the way, here's something to remember. Have you ever heard of the Phoenix Lights? In 1997, a one-mile-wide spacecraft flew over the city of Phoenix, and over 10,000 people saw it, my friends. Now, is that evidence or not? Are you going to say that 10,000 people are crazy? If you do, then, well, I guess the world needs people like you, because then you help us that do believe to be even stronger with our beliefs. How's that sound? It's almost time, my friends. Remember, your mother God and father God created your spirit and soul. Maybe not on this sun, maybe another sun, if you're a mystic traveler who travels around the universe. As I was saying, you know, when we get to heaven, then after having a great time there, then we'll reincarnate on another planet somewhere in either the Milky Way galaxy or another galaxy. That will be an option. And so it behooves us to perform our mission, complete our mission here on Earth, graduate with honors, if you will. Don't you want to graduate with honors, my friends? Develop yourself spiritually. Evolve. Be careful what you say. Your words do have an impact. You're all God's children. We are God's children. No one better than the other. All equal. All the Supreme Creator. And you can call the Supreme Creator our grandfather, grandmother. As you remember, the Supreme Creator is both male and female. Angels are male and female. So as far as co-creator gods are concerned, remember, there's the Father, there's the Son, and there's Holy Angel. Holy Angels. Not the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Angels. The Holy Spirit is really being in the presence of angels, in my opinion. You talk about Holy Spirit, the same thing as being in the presence of angels. And angels exist, my friends. You have an angel or two who are with each and every one of you out there all the time. You just can't see them. But they're there. And I pray that God, the Supreme Creator, our Mother God and Father God in heaven, will bless us, everyone. Help us, everyone. I've only got a little while left, my friends. I didn't get a chance to get to the questions about ancient aliens, but what difference does it make if they were here thousands of years ago? They're still monitoring us. They're out there waiting for the right time. Hopefully, we will be intelligent enough to continue to exist and learn to love each other. I think we've made great progress. Our technology is wonderful. We just need to keep our spirituality up with it. Let's keep loving on each other. No more talk about fighting people. You don't need to fight. Remember that what that young boy said who died? I saw him on CNN the other day. He made a really big impression on one of the CNN hosts. He said that we shouldn't be communicating with each other with bombs, but instead words. Words, not bombs. Speak those words. You are co-creator God in the making, my friends, all of you, each and every one of you out there. You are God. You can die. You are a God in the making. You're going to die and transition to another existence, another life. Hopefully you'll make it to where you came from. You existed before you were born. You're going back there to that same place. You have a mission to perform on Earth. Carry on with it, please. You are a great, wonderful, and beautiful person, an amazing spirit. Your spirit is awesome, incredibly beautiful. You're all beautiful. Let's love each other. We should be adoring each other. I'm not talking about physical sex. I'm talking about love, real love from the heart. You know, my friends? The kind of love that you would have for somebody if they died in your arms. That kind of love. Adore each other, please. Praise the Supreme Creator for the miracles of all creation, because every day is a blessing.
30 seconds.
I love you very much. It's the right thing to do. I hope you love me. Thank you for listening to my show. For those of you that already have a show, please keep up the great work. For those of you who want a show, love to have you add to the atmosphere with your beautiful words. Take care, and may God bless us, everyone. Bye-bye.